There's nothing inevitable, and there's nothing tolerable in my mind about this disparity, and it's addressable.
You're listening to For the Love of Health, a podcast about delivering care and creating health, brought to you by Christiana Care. And now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everyone. I'm Megan McGurman.
And I'm Michael Chesney. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Health, brought to you by Christiana Care.
Breast cancer accounts for 1 in 3 new cancer diagnoses in women each year.
And Black and white women are diagnosed at relatively similar rates, but Black women are significantly more likely to die from breast cancer.
Here to talk with us today about what can be done to close that gap are Scott Siegel, PhD, Director of Cancer Control and Population Sciences at ChristianaCare, and Dr. Dawn Leonard, Chief of ChristianaCare's Division of Breast Surgery. Scott and Dawn, thank you both so much for being here today.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
Let's start with the national landscape. What does breast cancer look like nationally right now?
Breast cancer is the most common cancer among women, the number two cancer killer for women. In terms of disparities, which is the focus of our work, breast cancer is more of a concern for Black women. It's the leading cancer cause of death. Even though white and Black women are diagnosed with breast cancer at similar rates, Black women overall are dying at 40% higher of a rate. And it's even more of a concern for younger women. So if you look at Black and white women under the age of 50, Black women are dying at twice the rate as white women.
And what does that look like specifically in Delaware?
We have a few concerning trends that we need to think about. So I mentioned to you that among younger women, women under 50, we see a bigger disparity. Well, in Delaware, we have the highest incidence of women diagnosed with breast cancer under 50 at an advanced stage. We also are number one in the country for a subtype of breast cancer called triple negative breast cancer, and that's the most aggressive form. It disproportionately affects Black women. It's twice as common in Black women. It's more likely to present at a younger age, and it explains a little more than half of the Black-white difference in breast cancer mortality. So the fact that we're leading the country in that subtype, in addition to leading the country in advanced breast cancer under age 50, this is really our call to action to address.
Why are we leading the country in both of those areas?
It's a great question. We're asked that a lot by the community. We don't have great answers. We're doing research to try to better understand that. We don't have the complete answer, but we don't need the complete answer either to know what to start to do about addressing it.
So before we get to some of the bigger things we're doing to address it, Dawn, let's talk about the impact of screening, mammograms, just generally on outcomes, maybe specifically mortality being kind of the most important one.
Well, what we know is that mammograms are the only screening test in terms of breast cancer that have been shown to improve survival by early detection. If patients aren't screened, they don't have the opportunity to have their disease caught at an earlier stage. Stage and survival go hand in hand. The higher the stage, the worse the survival. So in young women in particular who get more aggressive forms of cancer, screening is vital to finding them at smaller sizes, smaller stages to improve their survival.
And what does the research look like right now on screening specifically in Delaware?
It looks pretty good. We have above average screening rates compared to the rest of the country. We don't see a racial disparity in screening, but that doesn't really tell the complete story. A lot of our research has looked at spatial variation, and we know that there are hotspot communities within our state where we see higher rates of, for example, more advanced breast cancer. And in those same areas, when we look into patient records, we see lower rates of screening. So what the findings really tell us is, on average, things look pretty good, but there are higher risk areas that we need to focus on and really make sure the uptake of screening improves.
And Dawn, are you seeing that day to day as you meet with your patients?
Absolutely. Even thinking anecdotally, coming to this community 4 years ago from another part of the country, we see cancers here that I did not see anywhere else in the last 20 years of practice. We see more advanced disease upon presentation. Survival rates with treatment are pretty good considering the advanced disease that we see, but it makes a huge difference.
Scott, what does your research, what do your studies say about how to actually get more people be they more Black women, or there's kind of a geographic element here too. What does it say about how to get more women screened?
The reason why we looked at the geographic part of this is the difficult reality is there's still a lot of residential segregation across the country, including in Delaware. So areas that are heavily segregated, predominantly Black and other minority groups, what we found was that there was less access to mammography facilities. We also saw that in more rural parts of the state, less access, less healthcare overall, maybe makes it more difficult for women to get in for screening.
Scott, obviously Christiana Care is based in Delaware, but were there other reasons why Delaware was a good target for the study?
Yes, the trends that we spoke about, the higher rates of advanced breast cancer among younger women, the higher rates of more aggressive disease, triple negative breast cancer. So if we can establish programs to address these issues here, not only will we help the population of Delaware, it's our hope that this can inform efforts in other states and improve breast cancer disparities elsewhere. In addition, Delaware looks a lot like the United States as a whole. If you look at the demographics, we are a representative state. If you look at land use, we're very, very similar in terms of the urban-rural breakdown. We can really improve care here, but it will be broadly representative and can inform many other parts of the country.
Dawn, you and Scott were co-authors, along with a number of other Christiana Care clinicians, of a commentary in Population Health Management, that's a journal, calling for something to happen at a statewide level here in Delaware. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, first, let me say, you know, Scott has been doing this work for a very long time, and I'm very, very privileged and honored that he was willing to allow us to participate in this work with him. One of the most important things about this data and about seeing how it's practically used is that we really want to act to make policy changes that affect all communities. We think about tobacco use. We think about alcohol use. We think about poor nutrition and access to adequate nutrition. So it's making those kind of global changes. You have to have states involved. It cannot just be done by one hospital system.
We think it's very possible to recreate the success we've had before with other cancers to reduce the disparity in breast cancer. There's nothing inevitable and there's nothing tolerable in my mind about this disparity, and it's addressable.
Are there challenges in the way? What is stopping it from already having been addressed?
There's a whole host of challenges, and our plan is only going to be successful if we account for those and have a plan to address them. There's historical reasons, there's access to care, there's environmental factors. So we're not naive to that, but we also don't want to let that get in the way of us thinking about what's possible.
The commentary itself is subtitled Getting the Village Back Together. That is a very specific reference. Can you tell us about what it's referencing?
So a decade ago, in a different article published by a different set of Christiana Care in Delaware clinicians and researchers, they documented that after a decade of work, they were able to successfully eliminate the racial disparity in colorectal cancer. And the title of that commentary was It Took a Village. And that was in reference to the fact that it required healthcare systems, community members, policymakers, legislators. In this commentary, we very explicitly wanted to reference that. And we want to get that village back together, repeat history, and have success with breast cancer.
And what makes you think breast cancer can be handled the same way as colorectal cancer?
It's going to take a slightly different plan. We can't just run the exact same playbook. But there's some broader lessons that we can learn. And perhaps the most important lesson we can really learn from the colorectal work is that when you work across sectors, and particularly when you include the community, you can actually make a lot of progress. On a technical side, on a medical side, they're different cancers. They require different approaches. But the spirit of it is the same.
So, Dawn, you are not part of the colorectal work, but you are certainly leading the way in this breast cancer work. Talk about how it's different in your mind.
One of the things that I think is very different, especially in terms of Delaware, is the importance of representation. If patients don't see providers and team members who look like them and understand their experience, it's very hard to build trust. The other difference is it's women. Women guide healthcare decisions in their family, but also women are the first to give up self-care when times get hard or others have a need. So we have to be cognizant of that.
I once heard it said that cancer isn't one disease, it's 1,000 different diseases. So from a medical perspective, can you just tell us a little bit about the difference between colorectal cancer and breast cancer and how that might impact our ability to do something about it here?
Colon cancer with appropriate screening is completely preventable. We can stop it in its tracks. Breast cancer screening is about early detection. It's not 100% preventable by any testing that we have. So we can't eradicate it in that way.
We're talking a lot about screenings, but if it can't be prevented, then something's going to happen after the screenings. Are there disparities also in treatment after it comes to light that someone has breast cancer?
Absolutely. The data has been really clear about different patient populations by ethnicity, by economics, are offered different treatment options. Women who are underserved in whatever fashion in many areas of the country did not have the same access to clinical trials, to the same new treatment protocols for chemotherapy, to radiation therapy, to reconstruction. So we have to make treatment equitable, not fair, equitable, which is a little different. I think we do a really good job of that here, especially in light of what we see.
So what happens next? We've called the village together. What can the village do?
In our commentary, we really propose two primary strategies. The first one is to broadly communicate the need for all women of average risk to begin screening at age 40. There has been some disagreement in past years from various different medical organizations. Fortunately, now there's a consensus on this. And we need to make sure that we're educating not just our community members, but also our clinicians, so that they're all caught up to that reality. And we need to work with our fellow healthcare providers outside of ChristianaCare to implement similar processes and get the word out to all the different community organizations that support this. The second strategy is about conducting risk assessments with women before screening age. The recommendation to begin screening at 40 is for women of average risk. But there are women who can be deemed above average risk. And if you're above average risk, then you may be appropriate for even earlier screening or supplemental forms of screening. There's other prophylactic treatments we can offer. Some of those risk factors are modifiable. So there's a lot of other steps we can take. And this is really important because the more aggressive forms of breast cancer we're talking about that disproportionately affect women of color are more aggressive and they present at a younger age, often before screening is initiated. So we really want to make sure we're identifying who those women are and intervening appropriately.
And Dawn, what is that conversation like with a 32-year-old patient who comes into your office?
Many of them have excellent primary care providers who are picking up on these little subtle things that are increasing their risks. But most, they're scared. They come in, they're frightened. Many women, when they're told they have increased risks, feel that there's some fatality to it, that it's going to happen. It's inevitable. They don't understand that they can be empowered to make changes in terms of those modifiable factors to reduce risk. And then it's that educational piece. We've got to make some of these tools accessible. We've got to make them easy to use. We have a system that's already overloaded. We can't add a 20-minute risk assessment to a clinician schedule. We have to find ways to put easy-to-use tools in their hands, or they can't use them. They just don't have the time.
Is there any sort of reasonable sense of how long it might take to remove this disparity?
Well, it took 10 years to document the elimination of the disparity in colorectal cancer. It took about half that to eliminate the disparity in screening. So that's the first step. That's the precursor to the outcome. I might point out that that in the cancer world is incredibly fast. If you leave the state of Delaware, they are much more familiar with this track record than a lot of people in Delaware, because it's really rather impressive. For every study that talks about an attempt to reduce a disparity, there's 10 or 100 that are describing a disparity. So to be in the space of doing something about it is very rare. And to do it within a decade to eliminate a disparity is unheard of. If we had a 20% reduction in breast cancer mortality, or the disparity in that, we would celebrate that. Broadly defined, if we're reducing cancer mortality by a percent a year, people are thrilled. So to eliminate an entire disparity in 10 years would be remarkable. We want to be realistic, but we also want to aim big. And our first and most immediate focus is more on putting those screening and risk assessment processes in place. Let's do that quickly. And then we believe the positive results of that will come in whatever time it takes.
And Dawn, we're hitting 2024. It's that perfect time to remind people about the importance of screenings across the board. What is your message today?
My message is I think we all need to take a moment to create our healthcare goals and insert into those goals a commitment to getting the screening that's appropriate to you. Set a date, set a timeline, put it on your calendar. If you're of mammogram age, set that date that you know that you need to have that done this year. If you're of colonoscopy age, set that date to go have that conversation with your primary care provider.
Dawn, Scott, thank you guys so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And we'll have links to the study and the commentary we discussed today in the show notes for this episode at christianicare.org/podcasts.
There you can easily subscribe to For the Love of Health on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And while you're in those apps, leave us a review to help more people find the show.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate that. And we'd also love to connect with you on ChristianaCare's various social media channels, be that Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, wherever you are.
We are anywhere you are, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with another great conversation.
Until then, thanks again for joining us.
For the love of health.